Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, July 16, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 84. The third paragraph, we're going to read and comment on four sentences, beginning with, "And we have ceased fighting anything," and ending with, "We recoil from it as from a hot flame." Today's readers are Leslie M. for the 12 Steps, Melissa C.K. for the 12 Traditions, Kathleen O. and Kathy Jo P. And Melanie C. is our newcomer greeter. The reference for the special edition meeting yesterday, Sunday, July 15th, is 11663. That's 11,663. That meeting starts at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for July 16, 2018 is 11,666, and that's 11666, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Leslie M. from Long Island, New York. Thank you for allowing me to do service. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. And I'll now ask Melissa C.K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Melissa C.K., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Melissa C.K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your topic and your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and into action on page 84. We're reading and commenting on the first four sentences in the third paragraph, starting with, "And we've ceased fighting anything." And I'm going to ask Kathleen O. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. And this is by far one of my favorite paragraphs, because it begins by telling me I will cease fighting anything or anyone, even food. Really? I mean, yes, really. This is freedom. To experience these words is to know freedom. I went on so many diets over several decades and nothing worked. So to be told I would no longer fight food, I'd been fighting food my entire life. And guess what? The food always won. I never won. Well, sign me up, please, because I was sick and tired of fighting the food. It was exhausting and painful, not to mention it wreaked havoc on my body. We've done all this work in steps 1 through 9, and if we continue to take personal inventory, set right any new mistakes, and being human, we still make mistakes. But when I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, when I practice love and tolerance, I'm at a very low risk of being in conflict with anything or anyone, especially the food. And to have neutrality around food is nothing short of a miracle. I can't remember the last time I was tempted by flour, sugar, fat binge items. And I can honestly say I look at those items today, and there were dozens of those items. But when I look at them, I do recoil. I actually have an aversion when I think of what it would be like to eat those binge foods. And those items, they're poison to me. I mean, I have absolutely no desire to eat them, and that's truly a miracle. To have this obsession removed is absolutely a miracle. And for by this time, sanity will have returned. Well, what is sanity? It's between the ears. You know, sanity is mentioned in Bill's story, "People Feared My Sanity." It's mentioned in We Agnostics, "God Had Restored His Sanity," and it's in "How It Works," "Came to Believe a Power Greater Than Ourselves Could Restore Us to Sanity." So sanity means I'm no longer blaming others. I'm taking responsibility for my actions. And sanity means having reasonable and rational behavior. The way I ate and the way I acted prior to working these steps, it wasn't sane behavior. So if we do the work, recovery is promised. And the words in these three sentences and the sentences to follow in this paragraph, they're promises that you just don't want to miss. And it just takes doing the work and we do it every day. But what we get, it's so worth it. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Who else would like to comment on these powerful sentences?
Carrie F.
Wendy M.
Carrie F. Wendy M.
Sandy F. C.
Sandy S. And somebody C.
Melanie.
Melanie C. Okay.
Kathy Jo P.
Kathy C.
Mary G.
And Mary G. That's a great start. Thank you so much. I have, I think it's Carrie F., it may be Terry F., Wendy M., Sandy S., Mel C., Kathy Jo P., and Mary G. Carrie or Terry, please confirm
Carrie.
What you are.
Yeah. Good morning.
Thank you so much. And you'll be followed by Wendy M. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Carrie S., living in the sunlight of the spirit in Golden, Colorado. Thank you, God, recovered today. And fighting is definitely what kept me in the food. And I think early on in program for me, I was fighting the steps, feeling like I needed to work them perfectly, do them exactly the way, you know, my mind thought. And I was overthinking everything. And that's where my disease lies, is in my head. And so over judging, over criticizing myself, just constantly fighting. And I love on page 103 has another reference of fighting. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. And for me, I've stopped fighting myself. And then I had to do that by turning over my program to somebody else and asking a guide to take me through these steps and be willing to do what they say, because otherwise I can't continue on this path. And I think the other thing that really jumped out at me here is that I have to show diligent care and effort. And for me, that's really that grit and determination. And so there is an aspect of being, you know, like having this grit and determination. It is an aspect of fighting, but I have to turn it over to God. I have to be determined to let God do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And so living this other-centered existence now is what feeds me. That is what gives me this effect that I used to get from food. And then today I get the effect from coming on the lines and sharing, being of service, an intergroup, or putting a retreat on, or answering a phone call. So there are so many ways this program is just absolutely profound and has moved me in so many ways. And today I do recoil, and I don't want the food anymore. And it's a flipping miracle. So I'm grateful for all of you out there. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Sandy L.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Great. Perfect. So here's the deal, right? Like, and thank you, God, for this day and all of you, my Lord, and thank you for entire abstinence. So it says here, we ceased fighting anything or anyone. That sentence popped out at me like none other in the book, right? Because what it's saying, Wendy, just do this. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Don't fight it. Just do this thing. Ceased fighting anything or anyone, you know. And that's unbelievable to me. Like, it's a direction. It's an instruction. And this book is take the direction, right? Do what they say. Just do it. Just stop. Just stop fighting, right? And I was fighting everything. I was fighting absolutely everything. I was accepting nothing, no acceptance, right? I didn't accept myself. I certainly didn't accept you. Everything was a problem. And then, just to say we're going to stop it, because fighting is exhausting. It's stressful. It keeps me, obviously, in the driver's seat, and it keeps me without any sanity, without any, right? So, And that was my world. Everything was you guys hear me? I'm hearing a lot of noise right now. I actually can't hear myself. Can you guys hear me? All right. Okay. All right. I'll cease fighting right now, right? So ceasing is unbelievable, right? So that means that when I'm in the middle of a situation with someone and they're going to start gossiping or I want to start gossiping, it's like a hot flame, right? Because I have neutrality with food today. I've got neutrality with my defects. And when I don't have neutrality, they pop up and then I go to acceptance, right? So that's the beauty of this thing. I'm not just recoiling from a hot flame with the food. And thank you, God, that I'm recoiling from a hot flame. But also with my defects, right? That it's like automatic now. It's like in me, right? So that when I start, oh, I want to gossip, I want to talk poorly about this person, there's like almost a zap inside of me, some sort of like, I don't know, activity in my body that says, no, you're going to stop. Or if I'm about to tell a lie, if I'm in fear and I'm going to just not tell the truth, I stop that immediately, right? So this neutrality is not just with the food. It's with my own defects of character. It's with all of that icky stuff in there. There's that noise again. Okay. And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, I'm not hardwired for this quite yet, right? I'm slightly hardwired. So it just tells me that when I'm about to fight something, like just cease, just stop. And when you have this, it's just unbelievable how God works in me and through me in this promise, this 10-step promise. You know, fighting anything or anyone, I'm about to have coffee with my sister. You know, cease fighting. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, very much. And there is somebody who's got some squeaky metal kind of sounds going on in the background. If you are not Sandy S., please mute your phone by pressing star 1. Thank you so much. And Melanie C. will be up next.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville. And quick amends, that was me with the background noise because I wanted to make sure I got in quickly and I just pressed star 1 before. I'm at a gym. And so apologies to Wendy and the group. And I will be more careful with that in the future. For me, cease fighting anything or anyone, the first thing is that perfectionism. It just kills me when I do anything wrong, including unmuting my phone too early. You know, so there it is, right there. God, higher power gives me an opportunity to cease fighting the perfectionism. For me, I've been entirely abstinent for a very, very long time, by the grace of God. Spiritual awakening, have always worked the steps like my hair is on fire, because it is on fire. And I think we all have the common problem, but we all manifest it differently. And for me, you know, I've shared this many times, my primary issue was definitely mental illness. And to really be very concrete, I have an amazing amount of energy, like excessive energy, which I would never have chosen. And that is my primary problem, that I take that energy, that agitation, that irritability, and I turned it against myself. And then to sort of like quiet down that self-hatred, I used food. I knew it. Food was always my secondary addiction. The primary addiction was self-hate and inability to modulate my emotions. So really, right now, I am using the program to see and stopping fighting. You know, I have always fought to heal myself. And now it's a question of letting God heal me. And that's really difficult for me. It's really difficult for me to have the belief, you know, that I can let go and let God. So I'm pretty much in the sixth and seventh step a lot of the times, you know, being entirely willing to relinquish my role as higher power. I mean, which is ludicrous because I feel so powerless. But what's really helping is finding people in the program that can tolerate my intensity. And thank God there are some. And thank God there are some people constantly pointing out to me how I am healing. Because that's one of the old ideas I have to let go of absolutely. that I'm in charge and that I'm not healing fast enough. But it's definitely happening. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy S. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Kathy Jo P. Star one to unmute, Melanie. Okay. Melanie C., one more call. Kathy Jo P., why don't you go ahead and share, and we'll check back for Melanie after your share.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've shared this on the line before, but I came to OA in 1980, weighing 231 pounds, and I got abstinent. I got rid of sugar and eating between meals and weighed and measured my food. And I did maybe 6 fourth and fifth steps in 7 years. But I did not do the rest of the work. I barely even did one amend. And I noticed as I went on that instead of having my food get easier, it got harder. And when we talk about white knuckling, I felt like I was hanging on, scratching the world by a very, very thin thread. I was so miserable. And here, I hear the words that we will recoil from it like a hot flame. And I can tell you this time around, topping the scale at 303 pounds when I came back 2 years ago, or actually 6 years ago, but I started to do this work 2 years ago. I can now tell you that I am entirely abstinent. I've given up all of my alcoholic foods, and I go to bed every night undisturbed. I wake up undisturbed. Call me. How are you today? I am good. Because I have a process. Yes, I do get disturbed, but I have a process to help me get through and do my turnaround and start to be free again so that I can tap into this power and I no longer am white knuckling. I am no longer miserable. I am free. And that is what I was looking for. I was not looking to be at goal weight. I wanted the freedom, and the freedom from the hell and myself and this disease. And I am so grateful for that. And I thank all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Mary G. I know Melanie was having some phone trouble. Are you there, Melanie?
I am. Thanks for being so patient with me this morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling in from Oregon. I just wanted to say me too. Me too, me too. I don't know why. It shouldn't have happened to me based on my experience to have this kind of thing happen. I drove this thing into the ground for 50 years, and long before age 50, it wasn't working to take care of the pain, but I kept trying. I was in the point where this deal was begging me, driving me, holding me hostage forever and ever and ever. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop myself from picking up. There was no other thought in my mind but to imagine anything other than that, to imagine the other side, to say that I don't even want to, just was unfathomable for me. And with some sort of whatever, I don't know what, I can't explain it, it doesn't come to me anymore. It doesn't come to me anymore. Like so many other, I'm not going to tell my story any differently, just enough to add to what looks like the numbers here that this thing works and that I'm free and I'm grateful. And I didn't want to not be among the voices here to say, you know, if you think it's not possible, find somebody here to hold your hand through to the other side. I almost didn't get this because I was afraid to go to the other side, to even test it for some reason, because I couldn't. I was absolutely without defense against it, and I had no ability through the crippling fear that I had to give it a try, give it a test. Recoiling from it is the difference that happens now. I think some people are sharing earlier that sometimes food thoughts come up or whatever. And what I've learned since that has been taken away from me is the way it works and navigates in God's realm. And that is to say and to know that if something comes up like that, there is something wonky going on, and it's not the food. It's that thought that comes through that wants to make me think so. And there's been some sanity restored to understand that that's not what's happening, and that when something does come through like that, it's something's troubling me. Or most important, my higher power has shared with me, he's saying, okay, sister, we're going to dive a little bit deeper in the relationship that you have with surrender. We're going to dive a little bit deeper in the relationship that you have in surrendering those character defects. And so there's some work for you to do today. And my toolbox I'm reaching down in, I'm reaching farther now than I've ever gone before, and doggone of that silly food's there. But I recoil from it, because I know that that's not the answer, and God will provide that next new skill set for me to move through this next more painful thing in spiritual sobriety that's going to be happening for me, the opportunity that's being unfolded before me. But it has no other power over me anymore whatsoever, and I've been restored to sanity by God to see the difference between the two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a magical, mystical, fabulous, phenomenal thing that happened to what I would call filthy rags and a wretch like me. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. And Mary G., you're up next.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service. And this is Mary G. From Arizona, presently in Minnesota. And, you know, this line, cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, just jumped out at me, because I remember the first time I read the big book, I read it as a novel. It was like 2 days. I read the whole thing. I didn't like these pages, really. I thought, cease fighting anyone? You've got to be kidding. That was my badge of honor. I was a great fighter, not only a physical fighter as a kid, because I was so big and strong, but also a verbal fighter. I could cut to ribbons people, and I had no clue. I had no clue. And if I wasn't getting my way, I fought with God. I came into these rooms extremely spiritually arrogant. You know, I thought I knew what a spiritual experience was. I thought I already had one. I didn't need to learn anything from, you know, anybody else. And I, you know, did it my way for 17 years, and I was a chronic relapser. When I finally surrendered, it was because I was physically beat down by this disease, and I had to surrender. I couldn't afford to gain weight, and so I surrendered, and I lost weight. Unfortunately, I still didn't get it that I had to change, you know, that this program had to transform me to be a different Mary. I could no longer, you know, have those rights, those expectations, those judgments. You know, I had to learn to fight myself, that self-will. Boy, that was never part of my agenda. I certainly can see that transformation in me. I went to a family reunion yesterday, and I didn't have to fight to be the center of attention. I didn't have to interrupt other people's stories. I could actually listen to them. And I certainly didn't fight the dessert table. I just didn't even look at it. It's like, that's just not part of my behavior anymore. I had a moderate amount of food. I prayed before. I prayed after. I said, God, just let me be satisfied with what I am able to eat, and let it be enough. And, you know, today I'm so grateful, because that is sanity to me. I unfortunately didn't realize that I hadn't given up the effect of escape in my life. And so I slipped into a second addiction. And that second addiction brought me to the reality of what I used food for. What I used my second addiction for was to escape my reality. And so today, part of what I fight for or recoil from is escape. I recoil from escaping into anything. I try to stay stuck in my reality, whether I like the circumstances or not. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I've had that awareness, that ability, because the food was down, you know, to look at the honesty, to look with truth at my behavior and just go, wow, thank goodness you broke through, God, because really, self will run riot. You know, when you're fighting with God so that he would do what you want rather than you doing what he wants, that's a pretty sick person, let me tell you. And so I'm just grateful for you allowing me to share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Mary G. And so we are commenting on page 84, the third paragraph, the first four sentences, beginning with, and we have ceased fighting anything, and ending with, we recoil as from, recoil from it as from a hot flame. Who would like to comment on those sentences?
Melissa C.
Oh my, I heard Melissa.
Julie P.
Julie P.
Kelly F.
Kelly F. Some I didn't get that last one.
Sunny S.
Sunny F.
If it's sunny outside. Mm-hmm. Sunny.
Okay. Okay. I got Melissa C, Julie F, Kelly S, Sunny S. Who else was there?
Julie.
Nadia B.
Was it Nadia B?
Julie P.
Julie P.
And Patty T.
And Patty T. Okay, we'll see if we can fit everybody in here. Melissa C, followed by Julie F, then I have Kelly S, Sunny S, Julie P, and Patty T. So please go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. It's Melissa C, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, so this is like beyond my wildest dreams, because when I, and this is really what I came here for, and I didn't even know it, you know, I really didn't come for nine-step promises. I didn't come to have a spiritual awakening. I came because I couldn't win against the food anymore. And that's what brought me here. And I didn't even think that it was a possibility that I wasn't going to fight it. You know, I really believed that you guys were going to teach me how to be a better fighter, that I was going to, you know, like I loved, you know, that notion of the tiger in the cage. I thought I was going to get a really good cage and I was going to learn how to take a tiger out of the cage and get it back safely and get some really good skills for how to manage and control this tiger. And really what happens here is that I don't require a cage anymore because it's not a tiger. I've come to find out it was just a kitten. You know, that's what sort of has occurred. And it's where the addiction cycle, it's like someone took a scissor and snipped it open. And now it's not a cycle anymore. So that when I get disturbed and those overwhelming feelings, it's not like I have to give up and you know, like make the supreme sacrifice and go back to eating because I have a better way of living. And so I don't fight anything. And I was never really much of a fighter. But boy, I could keep it all inside so that my inner dialogue was all fight. I was like always fighting everything, only I didn't have the guts to say it out loud. So it was always in my brain. And then events, sometimes I would just erupt and go crazy and like it was, you know, overwhelming. I don't do that anymore. So like I don't fight anybody or anything, not even inside my brain. Like I don't, you know, like I don't fight my brother-in-law. I'm not angry at my brother-in-law. I don't have resentment against my mother. It's like all those things, they're just removed. And when I am tempted, when the thought comes, you know, I can finish the thought and say, what are you, crazy? Like, that's just not an option. Whereas before, I had no ability to do that. The food thought would come, and it would be completely overwhelming. And so, you know, if you think it's not possible, clearly it is. There's all of us scrambling to get in and say, it's true, it's true, it's true. Do it, do it, do it. It can work for you, too. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Julie F., you're up next, followed by Kelly S. Julia? Star 1 to unmute. Okay, let's go to Kelly S., and then we'll try Julie back again after that. Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly F. Can I be heard?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Kelly, thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Kelly F., recovered in Southern California, but currently calling from Nevada. And Elaine, thank you for your service and everyone on the line. So we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, which is food for me. So when I came to OA 5 years ago, I was doing OA without the big book. And not only I was doing it without the big book, but the doctor's opinion fell out of my big book. And I never put it back in because I said, oh, I don't understand that anyways. I don't need that. But when I came to program, the first thing I did was gave up sugar, which was my life. And I thought it was so easy. I thought I had arrived. I have two children, two impressionable young minds watching everything I do, including what I ate. So when I said, oh, no thanks, mom doesn't have sugar, it was so easy, done, I don't have sugar. Nope. However, because I didn't have the big book and I didn't understand the doctor's opinion, all of those resentments, fears, everything was just brewing inside. And I had no outlet in 10, 11, 12. So when I went back into the sugar face down, it was confusing for me. It was confusing for my kids, right? Because now not only did I want my own candy, I wanted their candy. It was like a robbery, like stick up, what do you got? I was eating the frosting off of their birthday cakes. It didn't even matter if it was their Halloween candy. I'd eat it, expired, whatever I found from 2 years ago. I was everywhere. I was all over the place. And so when I got recovered, when I found vision, when I found the big book, when I found my doctor's opinion, right, and really understood that, I understand recoil now. And a few months ago, my son said, oh, do you want some of this? And I said, no, not today, babe. And he goes, Mom, why do you always say that? Because you're not going to want any tomorrow, right, out of the mouth of babes. But it was a reminder to me that this is a daily reprieve. So even though I might have thought I had arrived putting down my alcoholic foods, it is one day at a time. And recoil means that it is sprung back waiting, for the next time I'm not getting unblocked from God and allowing all these feelings of restless irritability and discontent in. So just a reminder for today, I recoil and my hope and prayer to God is that I get that reprieve tomorrow as well, because it allows me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kelly F. And it may be that I didn't hear Julie F., it was Kelly F. But if there is a Julie F., you're up for share. And if not, it's going to be Sunny F.
I think it might have been me, Julie P.
Julie P., yes. Please go ahead, Julie. Thank you.
Okay. I'm calling from California. And this is actually just my third day being on the Vision. And I just wanted to say how today has just been, oh, gosh, that eye-opening everybody shares has been like, I want that, the whole thing about escaping reality and self-hate. And it's like I've just been struggling with that my whole life, and this cease fighting anything and anyone. I started OA in 2013, and I had a period of abstinence, and it was wonderful, and it was great, and I felt good, and then I got into a relationship, and so I keep blaming that relationship, which is still going, on my food, and it's because of the fighting, the fighting in my mind about, oh, yeah, you don't want to be separate from, and it's like, it just, I just wanted to say thank you so much because it just makes me feel like I'm not the only one out there, you know, and I am not separate from, I might be separate from people I live with as far as the addiction to food, but not out there in the world because you guys are all out there with me. So, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much and welcome. Julie P. So now Sunny S is up and you'll be followed by Patty T.
And if you have any time, can you add Sally A?
If I have any time, I will definitely add Sally A. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so please go ahead, Sunny.
Hello, can I be heard? This is Sunny S.
Yes.
Hi. Sorry about that. I was still figuring out how to unmute myself. This is a really powerful paragraph. Really what came up to me or what stood out for me was we seldom will be interested in food. I know that for me, my day-to-day was all about food, you know, like how, when, with who, and, you know, without anyone noticing or trying to upkeep a regular, you know, life. And then I found recovery, found a sponsor who I didn't fully agree with, and yet blindly, you know, I just followed what she said and went through the book, and I slowly, little by little, found that the more I did program, the clearer I got, and I started getting, like, glimpses of connection that I had never had before, you know, so when they're talking about cease fighting anything or anyone, suddenly I'm in a place of complete surrender, and that's what it was, you know, the more I did this program, the more I worked with others, the more surrendered I was able to get. And so it's interesting how at this point in my life, I want to be away from the food just so I can be in connection, that I can get that higher power, that I can keep working with others and really get those gifts. That brings me to the point now where I'm looking for a sponsee, super excited for this part of my journey. And yeah, I mean, this program is amazing. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sunny S. Patty T, you're up next, followed by Sally A.
Hi, this is Patty T from Southern California, recovered. I just have loved these shares this morning. I wanted to share today because I wanted to stress the point of how quickly this stuff works. You know, this recoiling as from a hot flame and the stop fighting. I came back to the vision meetings the first or second week of May of this year. I had prayed to God to allow me to have abstinence from diet soda and sugar on April 28th and was gifted with that abstinence and have been abstinent since then. I listened on this meeting for about 2 weeks and finally got the courage to identify as a compulsive overeater. The last, whatever it is, 80-something days, I don't even know. I'm not counting in that way, but have been a freedom that I never experienced, even, I think, in my original abstinence, which lasted 5 years before I relapsed and chronically relapsed for 6 years. I only know that I have replaced willingness with the fighting. I'm not white knuckling any longer. At 7:30 on Saturday morning, I sent a tip step to my sponsor because my mind was wreaking havoc in the form of a hummingbird thought flitting through my head back and forth and back and forth. And it disturbed me enough, thank God for the clarity, that I realized I needed to do a 10th step. And in that process, by the time I had finished that little form and texted it to my sponsor, I was completely free from all those character defects, the fear, the anger, the ego. And And I don't know how this works, and I don't even care. I know that it's God, and I can't explain God, and I don't need to today. All I know is that if you are willing to try one more time to save your life with this program, it can happen for you too. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Patty T. And Sally A., please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. in New York. I wanted to share on this sentence, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even for me, even the food. And I think that what I needed to say more than anything to all of you and to hear myself say this out loud is, for most of my life, and I probably will continue till the end of my life, I'm a very compulsive person, not just compulsive with the food. And I swing from being compulsive about focusing on the food versus swinging compulsively to focusing on the 12 steps and not paying attention to the food. And what has been made very clear to me in this last few months is that I don't just have to weigh and measure my food, I have to weigh and measure my words, and I have to weigh and measure everything because I am a compulsive person. So when I see these words, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, and in my case, the food, I'm reminded that here we are smack in the middle of step 10, and step 10 is step 1 through 9 all rolled up in step 10. And step 10, we just finished reading over and over, continue, continue, continue. And when it says, and we have ceased fighting anything and anyone, I'm reminded that every time I argue with someone, I am at that moment creating a marble that's going to roll around in my mind and become the resentment. And the resentments are a very big part of what I was eating over. So they're giving me an instruction to stop fighting anyone or anything and to surrender it all, to surrender my thinking, surrender the food, surrender and stop creating marbles. Because when I argue, when I fight, when I wrestle with the food, I'm creating marbles. And those marbles are the making of step 10s. And I don't want to have to do a bunch of step 10s every day the rest of my life. So I'm learning to weigh and measure my words, to shut up a lot more, and I'm learning that my mouth really is the big problem. And it's not just what I put into my mouth that's the problem that created all the extra fat on my body and created all the medical issues, but it's what comes out of my mouth, the arguing, the fighting, the opening of my mouth to share my opinions. That is what is the making of my marbles, my resentments. And if I would have just been quiet, I could have just quietly gone off and read and brought it to God as I was supposed to do in step 11. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally A. So we have 2 minutes. Who'd like to take it?
Nadia B.
Please go ahead, Nadia.
Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. This is Nadia B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Awesome to be studying this with you guys. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And at the very beginning, I listened to a recording, and a long-term abstinent person was sharing, and he was saying, you wouldn't be getting into the ring with, Muhammad Ali if you were sane person. And I did all the time, and it sticks with me today. I think the sanity today for me is that I don't jump into fighting what grew to be so much bigger than me, which is, food. And by this time, which is the time of us going through this work and step 10, the sanity is that I am, at peace that I am powerless over food and I'm powerless over my emotions and especially my thinking, my resentments, my sadness, my depression. I don't justify my anger anymore. And, you know, when selfishness, resentment come, I don't just have, you know, a skill set to stop thinking. I have a skill set to deal with those feelings, resentment. And, you know, the sanity for me today, and that's what the biggest part of my recovery is, that I understand that I don't have the skill set to deal with my own thinking my own way, because I am a compulsive person. And thank God for this program and, you know, a skill set. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia B. And thanks to everybody who has shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy Jo P. please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.